Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, grace and peace, everyone. I want to say welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel, also. Commission Ministries. We are tonight, we are dealing with the Temple of God Part 2. What do you mean the Temple of God Part 2? Well, yesterday we kind of dealt with a glossary. We kind of covered a lot of things that went on with the temple. You know, that he covered it with three layers of skin and things like that. And inside of you had different linen, different color of linen. You know, which represented the blood and things like that. So we got into those things, and we're not covering that tonight because we got to move a little further. Because the temple become more us. This is why we can't sin against the temple of God. That's why he said the Holy Ghost dwells inside of us. And once we really wrap our minds around that, then we can sin. Is a reason for pause because you don't want to sin against that which is good. And that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, with that being said, here stand face Jerusalem, those of us that stand face Jerusalem, and sisters if you can, cover your heads, and brothers if you can, uncover your heads, and you get close to my. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us to enter your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren, and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children, and our children's children, and their children, and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them and hear us, and also send your Holy Spirit upon them as well, and give them a mind to perceive and ask to see and is to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercy endure forever. Amen. Well, this is Ye Are the Temple, Part 2. You had a temple of God. Amen. So first let's go into 1 Corinthians chapter 6
and verse 17. 6 and 17. And it says this: but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. So this is the thing. If you don't know that the Holy Ghost is in you, he's telling you now it is. And he's also telling you that you can't be sinning against God with this inside of you, or he'll take it back. And he'll turn you over to something like that, something that a believer lie and be damned. Call it a reprobate mind. He will take this from you and fill you with devils. And the deal with reprobates is that they can't be recovered. They're too far gone. They can't be recovered. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do, say, pray, nothing. They're too far gone. Anyway, it says this. It said, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And we don't teach this enough, that the Holy Ghost is in us. We teach that that's some kind of Sunday Christian spookery, and that's not the truth. The truth is that the Holy Ghost is inside of us. Or else, how do Samson's whoop Philistines? That's 7+ feet tall. What was it, 3,000 of them? You kidding? And it says, so, which we have of God, ye are not your own. So, you can't even sin against you can't even sin against your body, because you don't even belong to yourself. You belong to the Father. So that's enough reason for Paul's, that should be reason enough for Paul's. If that's not enough, why? You are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So you can't be faking the fun. You know, like, I'm glorifying God in my mouth, and you stay out here wicked as hell. That's not how this works. You got to have both. You got to have both testimonies. Let's go in Ezekiel chapter 11 and 17. Ezekiel 11 and 17. And we're going to move really fast, because yesterday we were dealing with some intricates, but we want to really get to the meat of this. Ezekiel 11 and verse 17. And it says this: Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people, and assemble you out of the country where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all detestable things thereof, and the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. This hasn't happened yet. We're praying that it is. That's your will be done, that we all have one mind with Jesus Christ. Bottom line, that's what this is. So he's telling us, in order for him to dwell inside us, we got to be what? One mind. One spirit. We got to be one mind and one spirit in order for him to dwell inside of us. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go in Exodus 40. Exodus 40. Now, we're just going to get to the meat of it, you know. Because Now Moses took the tabernacle up. He took the Ten Commandments. He took the Ark. In fact, I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to skip down. I'm going to Exodus 40 and 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, On the first day of the month shall thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and to cover the ark with the veil. Thou shalt bring the table and set it in order, the things I set upon it, and shall bring it in the candlestick and light the lamp thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold and incense before the ark of the testimonies and hanging of the door of the tabernacle." Now, he's telling him, you put all these before the commandments, right? We're not getting into all the intricates. He's telling us how Moses was supposed to God. What we're going to do is get down to the meat of it. We're going to skip all the way down to verse 30. Okay. 30 and verse 33. "And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hangers of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." See, when the Holy Ghost enter in, that carnal man got to disappear. That's why Moses couldn't enter into the tabernacle. That carnal man can coexist with the Holy Ghost. Something is going to rule that house. Something is going to rule your temple. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Numbers chapter 2 and 1. Now, how it's important that the Holy Ghost surround the Ark of the Covenant, because he had him, when he created the Ark of the Covenant, he made sure that he covered it, surrounded it with cherubims of gold, you know. And we looked at those things. We looked at those things during the creation, that the Lord is surrounded by cherubims, literally. So the Ark of the Covenant is a signification that the God of Israel sit upon the cherubims. And the cherubims have a job. They are to take the Lord whichever direction they choose to go, right? So let's look at first the cherubim. Let's go in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 5. Ezekiel 1 and 5. And it says this: "Out of the midst, also out of the midst thereof, came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Every one had four faces, every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of a calf foot, and they sparkled like colored burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces in their wings. Their wings were joined one to another, that they turned out when they went. And they went, every one, straight forward." See, there it is. This is why we're finna read Numbers. Because remember, the cherubims surround the Ark of the Covenant. What we see here, the cherubims surround God, which is on the mercy seat, which is that throne that they are carrying right now. So he said this, and he said, "As for the likeness their faces before had the face of a man, the face of a lion. On the right side, they four had the face of an ox. On the left side, they four had the face of an eagle. All right. So this is what you would have seen on the Ark of the Covenant. That. So they're surrounding the Ark of the Covenant, like you said right here in verse 9. Their wings were joined one to another. So they surrounded it. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. So whenever the God of Israel said north, south, east, or west, they didn't have to turn because they had four faces headed that direction already. Exactly. Now watch this. Watch this. This is how serious, this is how the Father is trying to show us that the Holy Ghost is within the center of the congregation. The Holy Ghost should be the center of your being. It should be the center of surrounding God. Watch this. Numbers chapter 2 and 1. Numbers 2 and 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch his own standard with the inside of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation, there shall they pitch. On the east side, now get this. Okay, now remember, the cherubims, they are north, south, east, and west too. Now he's telling the nation, the 12 tribes, this is how I want you to line up. So when I get ready to go north, south, east, or west, I'm going to be following this particular tribe. Watch this. It says, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard inside of their father's house, or far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. And on the side, on the east side, toward the rising of the sun shall they, of the standard of the camp of Judah, pitch throughout their armies. And Nashan and Aminadab shall the captains of the children of Judah, and of shall be the captains of the children of Judah, and his host, those that were numbered of them were 14,600. So 60,000. 14, that's 74,600. So that's 74,600 right there. All right? That's just covering the east side. Right? Before you got to the Ark of the Covenant, Jack, you had to come through an army of brothers. And they was not going to let down their tribe. Anyway, on the eastward of the rising of the sun shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And Nashan, the son of Aminadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah. And his host, and those, a number of them, were 80,000, that's just of Judah. And those that pitch next to him shall be of the tribe of Issachar. And Nedan, the son of Zuar, the captain of the children of Issachar, and his host, and those that were numbered thereof, of 54,400. So now, after Judah, you got to come through Issachar on the east side. That's 54,000 soldiers strong right there. Before you even get to Judah. Right? Okay. Verse 7. Then the tribe Zebulun, Eliab, the son of Hilkiah, shall be captain of the children of Zebulun. And his host, those were numbered thereof, were 57,400. They're the front line. 57,000. 400 men ready to go to war, front line, ready to go to do the business. On the east side, remember now, just the east side alone, right? reason why I'm reading this is that I want y'all to understand something. I want you to see how God is operating here. Now, I'm going to skip down to verse 17. Numbers 2:17. Then the tabernacle of the congregation shall sit forward with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp as they encamp, so shall they set forward every man in his place by their standard. So the coldest of the coldest of the coldest were the Levites. When you got past all of them, you met Levi. Levi was your coldest killers amongst the tribes of Israel. They surrounded the Ark of the Covenant. That was it. They were Maccabees on steroids. When we were doing this, they surrounded the Ark of the Covenant, north, south, east, and west. They were like the cherubims that we read about in Ezekiel. They surrounded the Ark of the Covenant, as all the 12 tribes did. Now, I'm going to skip down to verse 33. But the Levites were not numbered. See, you didn't even know how many you was coming up against when you ran it. By the time you got through with them, you didn't know how many Levites was waiting on you. He didn't say how many they were numbered, right? He said, but the Levites were not numbered among the children of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So they pitched by their standards, and they set forward everyone after their families according to the house of the fathers. See, now, mind you, in the midst of the 12 tribes of Israel, remember, they didn't have to go north. They didn't have to turn. They just went in any direction, north, south, east, or west, just like the cherubims, which surrounded the Ark of the Covenant, which the Levites surrounded the Ark of the cherubims, which which was the next line of defense, just bringing up the tribe of Judah alone. Then after them, you had to get through Issachar. Then you had to get through Zebulun. And if you came through the south, you would have to come through three other tribes like that. Now, mind you, they didn't have to turn north, south, east, or west. They just went everywhere in their direction the same way like the cherubims did. This shows you that the Holy Ghost was in the center of the children of Israel in the wilderness right there. So the Holy Ghost got to be inside of you. It got to dwell inside of you. By law. Right here in the book of Numbers, by law, it has to dwell inside of you. It's not spookery. It's real. It's very real. The refiner's fire is still available to those whom it may concern. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Proverbs, right? Proverbs, chapter 6 and verse 19. Proverbs 6 and 19. And it says this. Proverbs 6 and 19. And what it does, it says, I ain't starting there. I'm going to pick it up here. And it says in verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Well, that's plain and simple. Amen. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. So, the Lord God of Israel is telling you, your brother that surround the Ark of the Covenant that he going to give you is going to do what? Talk to you. Why? Because they're ministering spirits unto as of salvation. So they got to talk to you. They got to have a conversation. So what are they going to discuss? The things that belong to the commandments, the things that belong to the law. And that's everything, even prophecy, healing. Everything belongs to the commandments. Everything belongs to the law. Bottom line. Obedience is better than sacrifice, hands down. Everything belongs to the law. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into 2 Chronicles. This is Solomon dedicating the temple. Okay, now we're not going to get all off into that like we did last night, right? We're just going to, you know, summarize it. Because, you know, we glossed it yesterday. We went in kind of on it, right? So we're just going to just touch on it. Okay, so it says this. I'm picking up at one. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated. And the silver, and the gold, and all the instruments. He put he among the treasures of the house of God. So, this is, David is the reason why Solomon got the temple. Okay, we got that. There it is right there. If y'all want to know who really built the temple, it just told you, David did. Everything Solomon used came from David. All right, now, let's. You're going to skip down because we're not really, you can read that on your own time. But here's what we want to get to. It said we're going to get to when he gathered the congregation together. Amen. So okay, pick it up at 7 here. It says here. And the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant, this Levi, and the priest brought the covenant of the Lord into his place, and the oracle of the house, and the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. There it is, because on the walls in the Ark of the temple were gold, and they had cherubims on it. And so the Ark of the Covenant was inside of that, man. That place had to be magnificent, right? No graffiti on that. Hands down. So for the cherubim spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims over the ark of the stage thereof above. They drew out the stage, and in the end of the stage they sent forth from the ark of the ark before the oracles, but they were not seen without, and they are there, and there it is unto this day. Good. Okay, got it. All right, now that's out. Okay, so now verse 10, it said, there was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. So the commandments went into this magnificent room, which God called the most holy place that Solomon created through the wealth of David. Listening to David, you wouldn't have known he was that broke off. But he's the reason why Solomon Temple existed. If Solomon Temple was to be built today, it would cost $70 billion, hands down, easy. $70 billion for one building. Right. So it says, now watch this. And it came to pass when the priests would come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present sanctified, not set apart, sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also, the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman and Zephyr, with their sons and their brother being arrayed in white linen. Get this! Having symbols and posery and harps, and they stood at the east door of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. What kind of orchestra is that? What orchestra you know got a brass section alone of 120 trumpets alone? That's by itself. And the people was there saying, wait a minute. Now, you're talking about a mass choir, right? We want to talk about a mass choir. You had 120 Israelites singing. And they had cymbals and everything. This was a big joint. This was a big to-do. When you seen 100 and something choir members and 120 brass members get down at the same time? When have you seen that? Never. Never, ever, never. Earth, Wind, and Fire is the closest thing you'll get to that. And they brass section probably went at maximum, at peak, maybe 12. We're talking 120 trumpets sounding like Earth, Wind, and Fire. No wonder the king of Babylon wanted the trumpets to be sounding like that in his kingdom and try to make us bow down to his God. No wonder. Okay, so, verse 13. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising, thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpet, the cymbals, the instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even a house of the Lord. Now, here come the Holy Ghost. You know, you listen to that music, you get into the feelings, man. Now, you know, I don't care whatever it is. You could be listening to that music. You could be listening to that, you know, R&B. Listen to that jazz. You could listen to that gospel. You listen to that house. You could listen to that rock and roll. Whatever your gig is in that hour, that's what you're listening to, right? Here it is. He said, this here brought down God, right? He filled up this building, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. That's what happened. This temple represented us. What? The cherubims are on the walls inside of us. There rests the Ark of the Covenant, where God said he would talk to us from within us. Just like that. That's what them two buildings represented. God is going to dwell inside a man. That's what the two buildings represented. The first one represented that he was going to dwell in man, and he was going to be flesh and blood, because it was doing all of that, right? But then the second one was supposed to represent the resurrection. That's why it looked like it did. The inside turned to the outside. So, let's look at that a little further. Let's go into 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 7 and verse 1. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. Wait a minute, y'all. See, the priest said, got through singing. God filled up the house. Solomon had put this big old prayer. Y'all need to read that. And then the Lord burnt up the sacrifice. Man, the people hit the floor at that time. We know we're in the presence of God 100. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. That flesh could not, the flesh can't rule once the spirit enter in. That's the transformation from world to saint. Right there. That's the that's when you make that transition from being a servant of Satan to a servant of God. Right there. Because there ain't no turning back now. You're not gonna jeopardize your tabernacle, your temple to be damaged or cursed by sin, at least not by sin, not by your sin, not by our own sin, I should say. That's the last thing. It's going to be under attack. That's no problem. We get that. The end of it is because of idolatry and our own sins, it can be destroyed. We want to keep our sins at a minimum. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans 8 and verse 1. See, because like we just got through reading, the priest could not stay in the temple. They could not stay. Moses and them couldn't stay in the tabernacle. They had to come up out of there because the Holy Ghost had came in, which is your God. Stop denying this gift. Okay, if you don't believe in it, if you don't want to believe in it, that's fine. Don't say, if somebody else receive it, don't get in the way and don't speak against it. That's just them and their God. You don't know what God is going to do with them. If you don't believe in it, that's between you and God. But it's real. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. We ain't got no excuse. We don't have an excuse that we can even have an excuse to even ask for mercy for sinning again. How about that? We don't have an excuse. None. Not with free will. Can't have free will and don't have condemnation. You better know which one he's talking about. You better know how to walk. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8 and 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because this carnal mind is enmity against God, therefore it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's why when the Holy Ghost come in, the carnal man gotta leave. Gotta jet. Something's gonna die. We prefer it to be the carnal man. But that's that thing. That's what he's talking about. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. There it is again. See, we keep wanting to deny a Holy Ghost, your deliverance. If you don't believe that there's a Holy Ghost, okay, that's fine. That's between you and God. If you don't believe that there's something that can take over your body, enter inside of you, that's fine. That's between you and God. But don't be telling people that it can't when the scripture's saying that it can. You can't teach against the word. That's blasphemy. Can't do that. Can't do it. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Case in point. The Holy Ghost ain't given to everybody. This book ain't for everybody. Everybody is not reading it. Everybody haven't read the entire Bible. I know people that I've been around for 15, 20 years haven't read their Bible yet. I know some people I've been around for almost 30 years in the Word have yet to read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. They're going to trust themselves that they read the entire Bible in bits and pieces. When the Word of God said, eat the whole scroll, you got teachers. But, like he said, they are in the flesh cannot please God. We don't even know we're in the flesh. That's the other thing. You got to know you're in the flesh. That's what's wrong with a reprobate. They don't know that they're in the flesh. A reprobate will continue in the flesh with no regards because they don't have any regards. Because it was taken from them that they should no more regard anything that's good. So most people that are reprobates think they're doing something and they're not. They're actually testifying against themselves. But that's this. He said, if the Spirit is not in you, then you don't belong to him anyway. So it's a mute point. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. So you dead to sin. Ain't nowhere in the world you're going to commit sin before God at all. If Christ is in you, no way under God green earth is you going to put your hands towards sin. No way. None whatsoever. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwelleth in you. But he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So you can't say the Holy Ghost don't dwell inside of you, or else you're saying you're not coming up in the resurrection. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with this conversation? You're saying the Holy Ghost don't dwell inside of you. You're saying that you're not coming up in the resurrection. The same Spirit that woke up Jesus is the same Spirit that dwelleth in him. The same Spirit that's going to wake us up is the same Spirit that dwelleth inside of us, and it's not the law. Jesus already knew the law. before he was baptized. So, what is this inside of his temple? So Jesus woke up with the Solomon temple. That's that thing that our elders had said, they're going to testify that we all must be changed and turned into that, right? It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the things of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. Wow. So it's all about being changed. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God, that this temple be changed into him. That glorious temple, that light, man. That light. It says, for the earnest expectation and the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made a subject of vanity and not willing by reason of him who is subject to the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We're going to be changing to that Solomon temple. And the Holy Ghost is going to be right there inside of us, where the law is, witnessing that the law is inside of us. Because that's what it do. That's what it do. It witnessed that the law is in side of us. Let's look at that. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 14. Excuse me. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified, not set apart, sanctified. Let's keep this in mind. It says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their heart, and I will write them in their minds, and in their minds will I write them. Now, listen to this. Whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness for the law. After that he has said, this is the covenant that I will make to them, I will put my laws in their heart. So how would the Holy Ghost be a witness to that unless it's inside? Isn't that where it was in the tabernacle of Moses? Wasn't it there? Didn't he make linen of cherubims? Didn't he make the Ark of the Covenant surrounded by cherubims? And then they surrounded what? The law. They are witness that the law is there. Why wouldn't it be here in the New Testament, saying that we are the temple of God? Let's look at this a little further. John 14 and 17. Oh, we're covering a lot of ground. John 14 and 17. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. See, if you don't believe it, you're not going to see it anyway. Jesus just told you that. And we can't call him a liar. You know we can't call him a liar. If he say you're not going to see it, you're not going to see it. Because you don't believe it. He said the reason why you don't see it is because you don't believe it. How is that a problem? How is that a problem? But like I said, it's not given to everybody. So you're going to have people in the Word right next to you are not going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit because they don't believe in it. That's all to it. You see, so don't be surprised. Amen. It says, even the spirit of truth, whom the world can not receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. There it is. And I will not leave you comforted. I will come to you. Now, some of us teach that the comforter is the law. And the Holy Ghost is the law, which don't make any sense. Because he said this. He said this in verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. So it's the law is there already. So it can't be the law that he's going to put inside of you, which is going to be the Holy Ghost, because there it is. He's telling you to keep the law. He's telling you to keep it, right? He ain't saying I'm putting this inside of you. He's telling you, if you love him, keep him, right? Okay. And he said, and I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world, wait a minute, did he say he may abide with you forever? So it's an entity. It's an entity. It's a being. It's a he. It's a male. Even the spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, that's why that's not the law, because he already told you to keep the commandments. So the spirit of truth is a straight up entity. It's something that fills you up, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, why is that so hard to conceive when we can conceive that two thousand angels can fill up one person, but three of them can't fill up a saint? I'm just saying. Even the spirit of truth from the world. Okay, I just read that like three times. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Some of us laugh this off like that's just too many people. Well, some people is possessed with legions of devils. You know, that's kind of crowded. Yeah, now that's crowded. This here I take hands down. Thank you. I don't have a problem with this one. I receive that in the name of Jesus. If you want to be inside of me, like you said, God bless you. Please be inside of me. If you say the Holy Ghost is going to be inside of me, God bless you. Let the Holy Ghost dwell inside of me. If you say the Father is going to be inside of me, God bless you. Father, dwell inside of me. I don't have a problem with what he's saying here, because that's exactly what he's saying. Yet a little while, the world sees me no more, but ye see me because I live, and ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am my Father, and ye and me, and I and you. And he that have my commandments, there it is, separate from him being inside of you. See that? He that have my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall the love of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. I'm going to reveal myself to him. He's going to see me because he believes in me. How is that? How is he going to do this? Go to Revelation chapter 3 and 19. I'm going to reveal myself to you, to this person. 3:19, and it says this. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's the key. If you want to hear those things that belong to God, the mysteries of God, you got to repent. We got to repent. You got to repent from your sins. If you don't repent from your sins, we'll die in our sins. So, hands down, yes, you must repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, as even as I have overcome, and I sat down with my Father in his throne. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, he said, I'm going to come in. I'm going to knock. You know, you don't know I'm there. You don't feel my presence. You know, God, he got an entry thing, you know. He got an entry sort of thing that he do. And it's either to scare the hell out of you or to put you in the majesty of him and his wonders and all that type of good stuff, right? So, he got this way of entering. So when he entered in, if you let him in, because, you know, hey, think about it. You let Satan in all day long. All day. You let Satan in. You got this one time to let God in. And no, I'd rather let Satan in? I don't think so. Don't think so. So, where are we? Did I say I was going to read anything past that? Ooh, I did. Well, with that being said, we're going to pull up right here. And God willing, we live. We're going to pick it up. Where am I? Revelation chapter 3:22. Okay. All right. So we're still dealing with the temple. So now we got the Holy Ghost inside the temple. You know, now you got some of that fanfare stuff going on in the Sunday churches. Don't get me wrong, man. I take a Baptist choir. 120 strong, 120 brass section, that Baptist choir will light you up. I give a Pentecostal church a strong second. Those tongue-twisting people. But a Baptist choir, to me, hands down, will take you off the planet. They bring God down. Well, I've just been around some good Baptist choirs versus all the other ones. You know, not dissing on my Israelites. Y'all got your own thing, but I'm just saying, right? I'm just styles. All right, don't be getting all this man. Anyway, he didn't have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. So, you know, hey, man, it's the Holy Spirit. He went as far to show us that the cherubims are in the center of the 12 tribes of Israel in the book of Numbers, man. That's so detailed. Man, we got to be on that, man. We got to love that, man. And God let you know that he going to be inside of you. He was showing us in the book of Numbers, man, that he going to dwell in the sight of us. He's going to be there inside of us. Right there. He won't leave us alone. He's going to be there with us. You'll never be alone. Never. Amen. So with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. Man, brothers and sisters, please. Read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. You know, don't just wait on people to feed you, man. Sit out and see what God has for you. I really love to hear it. Or see it or read it in a post or something. Amen. So, read your Bibles, eat it from Genesis to Revelation all the days of your life. Amen. So, with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time before we edify someone. And as we say here, at the sound of the living waters, read your Bibles. Shalom, everyone.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water.
Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.